sharing with you, but I want to go ahead and get into the Word. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be reading Psalms chapter 1 this morning first, and I'm going to take a moment and go through Psalms chapter 1, and that's basically what I want to do. That's what I want to preach out of this morning, but I want to go ahead and just set this up, and the title of my message today is Which Way? Which Way? And I want to ask you, how many of you guys, when you were growing up, did anybody remember the books called Choose Your... Okay, I see some people. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's a children's book. If you've never read one, I even encourage you to get one now because they're so interesting because there's so many different endings that are in the book. And basically what happens is you read to a certain page and then you have to make a decision. You get to choose your own adventure, and it's called a Choose Your Own Adventure. And I wasn't playing with my real life when I was reading those books. And I can remember reading, and it would say, you know, you come to a castle, and there's a dragon that comes out to meet you. You either wait for backup, and if you want to wait for backup, turn to page 24. If you want to attack the dragon by yourself, turn to page 48. And if you want to run and hide, turn to page 60. And I normally chose to attack the dragon by myself. And how many of you know how that ended up almost every time? It ended up with me dying and it giving the story. The end of the story was, wrong decision, you're dead. You know, and so I usually made the wrong choice and ended up dying. But because it was a book, I could just get back and change my decision. And that was the nice thing about the book. But how many of you have learned about life is that you just can't do that. The Bible says we have one life to live, and then it's the judgment. And so I wish it would be great if I could go back and just start back over at this particular point and decide another destination or decide another decision. But life doesn't work like that. When it ends, you can't go back and change. So we need to make sure that the path that we take, that we evaluate it very clearly. We need to make sure that we know what direction that we're going so that we end up in the desired destination. Amen. Would you say amen to that this morning? So what I want to talk to you about today is that very thing, is that what path are you on today? What path are you walking today? And is it the right path? Because there are different paths that the Word of God talks about, and today I want to talk about two of those. But before we get started, I want to pray and just ask God to be with us over the next few minutes. So, Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name, and we ask you for your grace to be upon our time this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Word that you've given me today. I thank you for the time that you've invested in my mind and in my heart this week, God, as I've studied and prayed over this message. And I thank you, Father, that your desire is to get your Word not just into me, but into everyone that hears. And so, Father, I pray for those that are listening online. I pray for those that are here in the meeting today. And Lord, I ask you today that you would help us to see the reality of the path that we're on, God. Lord, don't let us be tricked by the enemy, but let us see really what direction are we going in. What path are we on, God? And Lord, we thank you for that, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. See, when I was reading those books, every time I had in the Bible, it seemed like the right path to me. I thought it was the good path. I thought it was the right path. And the Bible even tells us in Proverbs 16:25, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to let you know what it says. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Thinking it's every time we make a wrong decision, or we take the wrong road. People that do that, and they're called fools. The Bible, don't take the wrong path, Proverbs. But most of us, when we take the wrong path, we don't take the wrong path thinking this is the wrong way. This is the wrong thing to do. This is not what I should be doing. We take that thinking that it's the right way. Now, I want to read to you Psalms chapter 1. It's only got 6 verses. And the first 3 verses deal with the way of the godly. And the last 3 verses deal with the way of the ungodly. And the first 3 verses deal with the way of the righteous, and the last 3 verses deal with the way of the wicked. And so what I want to do is I want to read these 3 verses, and then we're going to take a few minutes this morning and break them down and really look at the paths and the differences in those two paths. So Psalms chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Blessed nor sit who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the lands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now let's look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now I want you to notice that first word is blessed. Blessed. How many of us want to be blessed? How many of us want to live a life that's blessed? All of us do. Everybody wants to live a blessed life. And this chapter is telling us, if you want to be a person that lives the blessed life, you've got to walk a certain path. And this first verse is going to tell us what not to do. It's going to tell us the path not to take. It's going to tell us how not to go. And I want you to see that word blessed means how happy. It means a heightened state of happiness and joy, implying very favorable circumstances and enjoyment. And it tells us, blessed is the man who walks not, stands not, and sits not. Think about that for a minute. There's a progression there. There's a progression of going in a certain direction. That he didn't just start taking off and going that way, the life that's not blessed. This is how we progress down the wrong path. Do you see how that works? He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The way that it works when you take the wrong path is you're hanging around with wrong people. Pretty soon, you're walking with ungodly, and you're taking counsel with ungodly people. Pretty soon, you're walking with ungodly, walking on that path, and you go down to the path that sinners are on. And it doesn't say you're even, really does look good. That really does look like standing there contemplating and looking and seeing, oh man, that really does look good. That really does look like things are going well. And you go there, and then pretty soon, you're not just going there, but you're actually sitting down and you're enjoying sin right along with the people that you used to stand back and look at. How many of us today have ever been in a place where we asked ourselves, how in the world did I end up in this mess? How did I end up here? How did I end up in the place that I'm in right now? I remember when I was a teenager, every time I got into trouble, I would think that, how do I keep doing this? And I would get so mad at myself, and I would say, I knew better, but I did it again, and here I'm sitting, and I'm in trouble. I know that I've done wrong, but why? I remember thinking, why am I so dumb? Why do I not learn? Why do I keep doing the same thing? And I found myself in the same place all the way over again. And let me tell you, the Bible is showing us the way it happens right here. It's because you begin to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first step. You're surrounding yourself with people that are speaking of ungodly things. And when you begin to listen to ungodly things, you begin to stand in the path of sinners. And then pretty soon, you're sitting down with the scornful people. And those are the people that are making fun of the things of God and mocking the things of God. And the things that you used to love, now you find yourself making fun of. And it's a slippery slope. It started with walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then standing with sinners, then sitting there at the table with them. And the Bible tells us this, blessed is the man that stays away from those things. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're around people that are giving you ungodly counsel, you'll be blessed if you stay away from them. If you're walking and you're standing on the path of sin and you're contemplating it and you're looking and you're thinking, man, this makes a lot of sense. I know the Bible says this, but boy, that looks good. Let me tell you what, you'll be blessed if you stay away from that and you actually do what the Word of God says. And if you find yourself sitting around with people who are mocking God and making fun of God and are scorning and are making a mockery out of holy things, then you would be blessed to get up from that table and get away from that table. You'd be blessed to get away from there. Blessed is the man who stays away from these things, the Bible says. In verse 2, look at this. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, his delight is not his counsel of ungodly people. His delight is not in looking at the path of sinners. His delight is not in sitting at the table with scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. That word delight is to desire or take pleasure in something. All of us right now delight ourselves in something. Every single one of us. And for most of us, it's something different. And I found myself this week crying out to God because there have been seasons and times in my life where the Word of God to me was more important than anything. I couldn't stop reading it. I couldn't stop looking at it. Every time I read it, my heart would burn with joy and passion. And then there have been times in my life where even as a pastor, I've gotten to a place where I didn't even care about looking at it. I would rather read the news. I would rather watch Netflix. I would rather delight myself and cry out the way. And when I find myself in that place, the only thing I can do is repent and cry out to God and say, God, restore. I tell you today, if you're delighting in fire for your word, restore that delight to me again. And I want to tell you today, if you're delighting in something other than the word of God, then what it's going to do is it's going to pull you away from God. Does that make sense this morning? We want to be blessed, and the Bible says, blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. And all of us today have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to look at our own hearts, and we have to say, God, what do I delight in? What is it that my heart delights in? And I want to encourage you this morning, as you look at your own heart, if you find out that you don't delight in the law of the Lord, you'll be blessed if you do. You'll be blessed if you do. If you say, God, make my heart delight in your word. God wants us to desire his word above everything else, but many times we don't. And I want to encourage you, put a priority on God's word in your day, because the more you eat it, the more you'll like it. Smith Wigglesworth was a famous evangelist in England, and he said this. He would say, when I wake up in the morning, I have a motto, no read, no feed. In other words, what he did was, before he ate his breakfast, he read the word of God, because he realized that the word was more important to him than his very breakfast. And then it says, blessed is the person who meditates on the word day and night. Look at that. It says, blessed is the one who meditates on the word day and night. Blessing comes from getting the word in us every day and every night. That word meditate means to moan, growl, utter, speak, or muse. One commentary says this, meditation involves studying a passage of Scripture, memorizing it, praying about it, and exhorting oneself to fulfill it. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Many times we say of Scripture, then memorizing that, then praying about it, and then encouraging ourselves to do what that word says. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know what would help all of us today, including myself, is that if we would take a moment this week and we would find a verse out of the Bible and we would get that in our hearts and we would spend time memorizing that, meditating on that, and what would happen in our lives. Amen? So let me just say this. In verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And so let's look at this. When you begin to meditate on the law day and night, the Bible tells us what we're going to be like. We're going to be like a tree. So blessed is the man that's like a tree. Now think about this. How many of us want to be like a tree? That doesn't even make sense. It's like, well, I don't really want to be like a tree. That doesn't sound very fun to me. I want to be like a person. But this is the Bible liking it. What is a tree? Trees are strong and they withstand storms, right? When storms come and the storms of life come, the person that is blessed, the person that delights in the law of the Lord, what happens is the word of God gets on the inside of them and goes down through them, and all of a sudden they become a person that is rooted and grounded in the word of God, like the Bible says, and they're in a strong place, and when the storms of life come, they don't get broken down and bent over, but they actually are able to stand up under the storm. You'll be a fruitful tree that produces fruit. Isn't that beautiful? It's talking about when we begin to meditate on the word of God and we begin to get the word of God in us, we won't just be any type of tree, but we'll be a tree that produces fruit. We'll be a tree that has fruit coming out of us. How many of you want to be a person that has fruit coming off your life? The Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it talks about that fruit of the Spirit coming through us. And do you know the people that have that in their lives? The people that have that in their lives are blessed. And the reason they're blessed is because they get the word in them. And that is what is a result of that coming out of them. The next thing it tells us in this verse is that your leaf will not wither. In other words, you won't dry up, but you'll have life inside of you. There'll be spiritual life on the inside of you. One of the reasons that we dry up spiritually, one of the reasons that we lose the desire and the fire for God in our lives is because we stop taking the Word of God to inside of us. If you keep putting the seed of God's Word on the inside of you, and you go to the Word even when you don't, you go to the Word even when you don't want to read it, and you keep putting it on the inside of you, and you keep meditating on it, what's going to happen is life is going to abound on the inside of you, and there's going to be spiritual life coming out of you because the Word of God produces life. Amen? And we have to understand that you won't dry up when you're doing that. And another thing that trees do is they produce shade. They produce shade. It says his leaf will not wither. Have you ever been out on a hot day and all of a sudden you've been working hard and you look over to the side and there's a big tree with shade up underneath the tree. And you walk over and you stand underneath there and it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, God. This shade is so amazing. And that's what the Bible is saying. He's saying that when you're a person that's blessed and when you're a person that meditates on the Word of God day and night and you get the Word inside of you, your leaves are not going to wither. You're going to have life on the inside of you. And other people, not just yourself, but other people are going to be the beneficiary and other people are going to be blessed because they're going to be able to come to you during their time of need. And the Word of God that's on the inside of you and the blessing of God that's on the inside of you and the fruit of God that is in your life and the leaves that are all over you are going to be so big and so great that people are going to be able to stand under that shade and get spiritual refreshing because of the life that you have with God. I don't know about you, but that's an amazing thing, and that's something that I want in my life. And the Bible says, whatever you do will prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. Think about that. What a statement that is. Whatever you do will prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. I want you to just take a moment and just let that sink in. It doesn't say some of the things you do will prosper. It doesn't say half of the things that you do will prosper. It says whatever you do will prosper. And the reason that is because you'll be full of the Word and not full of yourself. You'll be full of the Word of God and not full of yourself. Many times the reason things that we try to do don't prosper is not because God doesn't love us, but because it's our plan and not God's plan. It's our idea and not God's idea. And if we want to get God's plan and God's idea on the inside of us, the way we do that is by getting His Word on the inside of us. Amen? And now we're going to make a switch because in verse 4, we're going to look and it very abruptly changes course. It says, the ungodly are not so. In other words, everything that we just said in the previous three verses, all the blessing, all the fruit, all the tree, all these things, the ungodly are not like this. But they're like chaff which the wind drives away. Now I want you to look at that word ungodly because it says the ungodly are not so. And many times we would look at ourselves and say, well, man, I'm definitely not ungodly, right? That's a bad word, so I'm definitely not ungodly. So let's look at that word ungodly. It means wicked, unrighteous, pertaining to being evil, with a focus on the guilt of violating a standard. Guilty, pertaining to be legally not innocent, of a violation of the law. So in other words, what are the ungodly people? They're the people that have violated the law. The people that are blessed are the people that what? Meditate on the law both day and night. The ungodly are the people that do not care about the law, and all they care about is themselves, all they care about is their thoughts, all they care about is their ways and what they think is right and what they think they should do. And the Bible says the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. This word ungodly is referring to those who are guilty of violating the law of God. They never think of God's laws or ways, and the Bible says they are not so, or they are not blessed. The Bible says they're like chaff. And if you look at us on the outside, begin to understand wheat when it comes, it has a husk on the outside of it. And what happens is brown, and then they would Old Testament in the old days, what they would do is they would put the wheat in on a hard ground, and then they would take an ox and they would have a wooden sled that they would pull over that. And what would happen is that wooden sled went over the grain, it would separate the grain from the chaff. And then what they would do is they would come in and they had these winnowing forks, is what they were called. And when there would be a breeze coming by, they would just scoop the chaff and the wheat up at the same time, and they would just toss it up in the air. And guess what would happen? The grain would fall to the ground and the husk just blows away. And that's what God is saying right here. He's saying the person that's blessed is like the grain that goes back to the ground, and the person that is ungodly is like the chaff that just gets blown away. They get blown away. And the Bible talks about people that are drawn away and blown away with every wind of doctrine because they don't know the Word of God. They're just swept away, and they're swept away, and they're swept away. They're like chaff. They're separated from the grain. And another thing about chaff is it's useless. It serves no purpose except to be blown away or except to be burned up in the fire. And they're driven away by the wind. That's what the ungodly, that's the path of the ungodly. That's what it looks like. Verse number 5 says this: therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And if you look at that, you could think that what that means is the ungodly are going to be sitting down. They're not going to be standing in the judgment. They're going to be sitting down. But that's not what that word means. I learned what that word means when I was learning Italian, when I was reading the Bible. And the verb there in Italian is reggere. And what that means is it doesn't mean to stand, but it means to stand up under. It means they can't hold up under the weight of God. It's almost like a table that can't stand anymore because of the pressure that's coming down on it. And eventually that table breaks and crumbles because it couldn't stand up under the pressure. And that's the way that God is describing this. And he's saying that the ungodly, those that don't care about God's law, that don't meditate on God's law, that throw God's law away and say, I'm going to do my own thing, those people are not going to be able to stand in the judgment. That doesn't mean they're going to be sitting down. It means they won't be able to stand up under the judgment that will be coming down on them. And it says the ungodly and the sinners, look at this, they're going to be trying to hide in the congregation of the righteous. Look at this. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And do you know what's happening a lot of times in the church? Is there are people that come to church, but they don't love God's law, and they don't follow God's way, but they hide among the righteous. And they look like they're righteous. They look like they love God. They look like they care about God, but they come to church for reasons other than that. They could care less about the law of God. They could care less about godly things and godly ways. They go and they come together with the righteous. But the Bible tells us that there's going to come a day, that day of judgment, when the chaff is going to be separated from the grain. They're going to be separated. They're going to be pulled away. And when the judgment of God comes, they won't be able to stand up under the weight of that judgment. And they will not be able to hide with the congregation of the righteous. In other words, they're going to try to sneak over and pretend like they're just like these people. But look at the next verse. It says in verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In other words, if you think you're going to fool God by living your own way and by living your life according to your own desires and despising His law and walking with sinners and walking in the seat of the scornful and doing all those things, and then in the last minute you're just going to sneak in with the righteous, God is saying, listen, don't be deceived. Because God knows the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked will perish. So let's look at that last verse there, verse 6. How many ways are there? There are two ways, right? How many ways are in verse 6? The way of the righteous and the way of what? The ungodly. The way of the righteous does what? Leads to life. And God knows that way. And the way of the ungodly shall perish. It says the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows those who are doing what He says, and He knows the way of righteous, and He also knows the way of the ungodly, that it will perish and that it will lead to destruction. And this psalm is speaking of the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. There are two different ways, and there are two different destinations on those two ways. Now, I want to ask you today, which path are you on? Which path are you on? Go to the New Testament. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to the New Testament and look at this in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 13 through 14. Matthew 7, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 14. You can say amen when you got it. All right, we got some people quick with their Bible or quick with their phone. So Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute because I want you to understand, how many ways are there here? There are actually two gates and two ways. There's the narrow gate and the way is difficult and it leads to life. And then there is the broad gate, or the commentary gate, and the broad way that leads to destruction. Now, I want to read you out of a commentary from Wiersbe. This is what it, how to know which one of these study in this passage. And he's talking about the difference of these two ways and how to know which one of these ways you're on. So listen to this. He says, here then is the first test. Did your profession of faith in Christ cost you anything? Did your profession of faith in Christ cost you anything? If not, then it was not a true profession. Many people who trust, in quotation marks, Jesus Christ never leave the broad road with its appetites and associations. They have an easy Christianity that makes no demands on them. Yet Jesus said that the narrow way was hard. And listen to this. We cannot walk on two roads in two different directions at the same time. You understand that today? We can't walk on two roads in two different directions at the same time today. And basically what we're looking at here is he's saying, listen, if your faith in Jesus didn't cost you anything, then you're still on that broad way that leads to destruction. Because narrow is the way. And I want to give you a visual of this today, because as I was thinking about this, I was thinking we've got some narrow ways and we've got some broad ways here. And I want this to represent my life. I want this to represent everything that I love that's outside of God, everything that I desire to keep, everything that I want that I know is not right, everything that Jesus is telling me that I can't have, or he's telling me this is bad for me or this will hurt me. I want this to represent that. And then I'm going to show you, look at that's the broad way right there. And look, I can take this and I can go right. I can have all of this and I can walk right through the broad way and just push right through and I can go right in, correct? But let me ask you something. How many of you knew this door was here? Everybody know this door was here? You've seen that broad way? And everybody goes through that door. Every week, people go through that door like crazy. But many of you probably didn't know that right here, there's actually another door. There's a narrow way right here. And there's actually a door right here that I can open up and push, and you can see. But I want you to notice something. You see this right here, it won't fit. No matter which way I turn this, I'm not getting this through the narrow way. So what do I have to do? If I want to choose to go the narrow way, I've got to set this down. And I've got to go just like this, and I've got to go through the narrow way, and I can go in. And I believe that is such a good picture of what this scripture is teaching us, and I want you to see this today. You see, I want you to see the goodness of God in this, because I want you to notice that there are gates of destruction in front of these ways. God didn't just leave the road to destruction open with no gate at it. And you know what? You've got to go through things that if you choose that road, you've got to open that gate yourself. You've got to go through the gate. Do you see that in these verses where it says, look at here, enter by the narrow gate. Jesus right here is telling you which way to go. He's saying, listen, enter by the narrow gate. Why? Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many people that go that way. He's saying, listen, don't just follow the crowd, because many people are going that way. The gate is wide. The way is broad. It looks good. Everybody's saying that's the way to go. It's a beautiful thing. And he's saying, listen, don't go that way. Go the narrow way. Go the other way. Go the narrow way. And when you look at this, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it, Jesus says. There are few who find it. Now I want you to see God has placed a gate in front of the way that leads to destruction because he's a good God. And his word is placed between us and the gate that leads to destruction. God has placed a gate there, and you have to open that gate to go into destruction or life. And so how do we open the gate? How do I open the gate to go into the way of destruction? I'm the only one that can open it for myself. And the way that I open that gate is when I know what is right and I know what is wrong, because God has written his commandments upon my heart. And I have the word of God that God has written and given to me. How do I open that gate? The way I open that gate is by disobeying God and disobeying his commands and saying, God, I know your word says don't do this. There's a word. The word of God is attached to the gate that leads to destruction. And the people that choose that gate will have to knock his word off and walk through it all on their own. And I'm going to tell you, if you've chosen that gate, you're going to go through that gate because you chose to disobey God. If I go through that gate and I take that path that leads to destruction, I'm going that way knowing that I have chosen to disobey the word of God. How do people go through that gate? What's the entrance into that way? What's the entrance through that narrow way? It's choosing to obey what the scriptures say. It's choosing to obey the word of God all the days of my life. When God says something that I don't like, the way of unforgiveness is broad. There are many people that walk in unforgiveness. If somebody's hurt you, let me just give you an example of this. If somebody has hurt you and done you wrong, you can call 1,000 people that will side with you and say, I wouldn't forgive them either. They don't deserve it. What they did was horrible. You should do this and you should do that and you should do this. And what they're doing is they're going down that wide path. They're going down that broad way. They're going through that other gate. And if you listen to that counsel of the ungodly, what path are you going to be taking? You're going to be taking the path that leads to destruction, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. See, it's a narrow way to follow Jesus Christ. Now, how did that same person make the decision to go through the narrow way? The same person, when they're faced with hurt and they're faced with heartache and people have done them wrong, they say, listen, I know everybody else is going that way. I know everybody else is choosing to go that broad way. It's well-traveled. There's a lot of people on it. I'll have a lot of company. I'll have a lot of people with me. But I have decided to follow Jesus Christ, and He is my Lord and Savior, and His Word tells me to forgive those who have hurt me, to forgive those who have wronged me. And the way that I enter into that right path that leads to life and righteousness is through Jesus Christ and obeying His word. Does that make sense this morning? Now, I want to encourage you this morning, don't be fooled by the world and don't be fooled by ungodly counselors. Don't be fooled and stand at the way of sinners, like Psalms 1 says, and look and see everybody going this way and allow that to sway you to go down the path of destruction, because Jesus said, enter the narrow way, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And He says, the narrow gate, few are going to find it. Few are going to find it. Why? Because it's a difficult way. It's a way where you have to die to yourself. It's a way where you can't carry all of these things. You've got to leave unforgiveness there if you're going to go through the narrow way. You've got to leave hurt and pain, and you've got to leave anything that is contrary to the word of God. You have to leave it, because it won't go through the narrow way with you. And I'm just telling you this morning, I feel this so strongly in my heart. There are people of destruction that have chosen their own disobedience to God's word, and they're going down the path of destruction. And I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you do, don't keep going that way. Don't keep going that way. Now, I want to share with you, because this narrow way right here, we may not even know it, but did you know this narrow way has a name? This narrow way actually has a name. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 6, and we're going to see the name of this narrow way. The Bible tells us, Jesus Himself says it in John 14, 6. He says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to see this morning. If you don't hear anything else, Jesus Christ declared Himself to be the way. The way. He didn't say He's the way among many. He didn't say He's one way among many. He didn't say that all of these things. He said, I want to finish. He's not one way of many, but He's the only way. He's exclusive. And I want to finish with this, and I want to glorify Jesus Christ, and I want you to understand this. Why is He the only way? Why is Jesus, how can He say, I'm the only way to life? How can He say that? Let me tell you why. Because He's the only one that fulfilled the law of God in 100% obedience and righteousness. He's the only one. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. Mary didn't do it. Confucius didn't do it. Your mom or your dad didn't do it. Nobody else did it, and nobody else could do it. Only Jesus did. He never stood, and he never took the ungodly counsel of sinners. He never stood and looked at that path. He never walked down that path. He never walked down that way. He fulfilled God's word 100% completely by His obedience to the word of God. He did exactly what Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says. And He took our punishment. You and I walked down that road. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus died on the cross for you and I. He shed his precious blood and his perfect blood so that you and I could do a U-turn and by our obedience come out of that way and choose the way. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what he's done. Now, I want to just get ready to conclude with this morning. As I was driving through my neighborhood, I was thinking about this, and I've heard so many people make this argument. It is so crazy to the world when we say Jesus is the only way. And many Christians will apologize for that. And you'll hear Christians saying, I've heard well-known pastors that will get interviewed on TV, and they'll say, well, you know, and they hem and haw, and they go back and forth. And instead of taking that opportunity to proclaim the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, they'll do all these other different things. And I just want to encourage you today that you understand and know Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to the Father. He declares it right here. He's the only way. There is no way to come to God. And as I was driving through my neighborhood, I was trying to think of something, and I was just praying and thinking about it. Let me give you an example of this, all right? We say, well, there's a lot of ways. People say there's a lot of ways to get to God. You can get to God all these different ways and all this kind of stuff. But let me just tell you how foolish that is, how foolish that thought is. If you come to my neighborhood, I live in Aquia Harbor, and if you drive through Aquia Harbor, you're going to pass thousands, hundreds and thousands of driveways when you come down the road. There are going to be all kinds of driveways. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one driveway that leads to my house. Only one. You can go down any other driveway in my neighborhood, and this is how foolish it would be for you to think that you can go down Williams driveway and you say, hey, Pastor, I want to come over, hang out with you this afternoon. Maybe we can watch the game tonight. Hey, sure, that'd be great. And you drive down the road, and you go down Williams driveway and get out of your car expecting to be at my house. Williams driveway does not lead to my house. Williams driveway leads to Williams' house. My driveway leads to my house. There's only one way to get to my house, and that's by going down my driveway. There's only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So I want to encourage you today, when you hear people say that, tell them, listen, I love you, and I can say this with all the love in my heart. There's only one way to get to Jesus Christ, or there's only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so, in conclusion, I want to just share this with you. Listen, I make wrong turns all the time when I'm driving on the road. You can ask my wife. We laugh about this all the time because she says, "If what do you do when I'm not in the car with you?" Because basically, I know where I'm going. I know it's not that I'm lost. It's that I'll be so deep in thought, and I'll be thinking about something else. And literally, I take wrong turns almost every day. Is it all right if I just confess this to you guys? I really do. I'll go down 95, and I know that I have to go past the Garrisonville exit and go to the Aquia exit and swing around. And I find myself, after I've taken the Garrisonville exit, and I'm down by Stafford Marketplace, and I realize, what am I doing? I was supposed to be going home, and I was thinking about something else. Now, think about if I did that, and I just thought, okay, well, I made a mistake. I'll just keep going this way, and eventually, one day, I'll decide that I'm just going to turn around and I'll go back home. Do you know what I do when I do that? Do you know what I do when I make that wrong turn? I turn around, and I go back down the right way that leads to my house. I have to do that many times a week, actually, if I'm going to be honest with you. I have to do that a lot of times. Tomorrow, I turn around, and I reverse course, and I make it home. I just can't keep going the wrong way and saying, maybe tomorrow I'll turn around. Because if I do that, I'm just going to keep getting further and further and further away from where I'm trying to go. And the reason I share that with you is because I believe there are people in this room right now, and you know that God brought you here to hear this message today. There are people that are listening right now on Facebook Live, and they know God has destined this day for them to hear that message, God, and not towards God. And God says today, listen, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, today you can turn around and you can turn your heart back to God. You can repent of your sins, and you can come back into a right relationship with him. Listen to these words in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:7 through 8 says this: let the wicked forsake his way, not God's way, his way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and listen, will abundantly pardon. Look at the goodness of our God right here. He's saying, listen, Let the unrighteous man forsake his way. Let him turn around. Let him come back to me. Why? Because the Lord will have mercy on him and he will abundantly pardon. Can I give you some good news this morning? Even though you have walked away from God, even though you are driving the wrong direction, even though you are going away from the way that is Jesus Christ, even though you may be a person today that is not looking for God, God is looking for you, and he sent me here today to plead with you that you would turn around, that you would not keep going down the path of destruction, but that you would take this moment in time and say, I'm going to do a U-turn by asking God to forgive me of my sins, and I'm going to get on the right track, and today, from this day forward, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ because I know that he is the way. Now, I want to ask you all over this place right now just to bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. And Lord, I'm asking you right now for U-turns in the Spirit. I'm asking you right now, God, that people would turn on a dime. Lord, people that are going towards destruction, people that are heading in the wrong place. God, you showed us in Isaiah 55 that you have mercy and that you will abundantly pardon, but we have to come to you and we have to get off that path of the wickedness, and we have to get on your path. And the way we do that is through Jesus Christ. It's through repenting of our sins. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity today that we have to do business with you. I thank you for the opportunity that we have today, God, that even though we've done wrong things and even though we've disrespected you, God, and even though we've gone the wrong way, God, you love us enough to speak out to us, God, and to give us an opportunity. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts right now and all over this place right now. If you know that that is you and you know that you've been going down the wrong path and you know that you've turned from God and you've gone the wrong way and you say, Pastor, today I want to turn my heart back to God. I'm not even going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to ask you to do any of that. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to do business with God. And I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting. You don't get saved because you come down front. You don't get off that path. You can walk down front and stay on that path. You can walk down front and stay on the path that leads to destruction. What happens in your heart is what matters. What happens on the inside of you is what matters. And if you know the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now and you know that you're here for this right now, I'm going to ask you to pray from your own heart. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer because God wants to hear your prayer. And so right here, let me just tell you, all that you need to do is you can ask God to forgive you from walking down the wrong path. And you can ask him to regenerate your heart. And you can ask him to set your feet on the right path. And I want to give you just a few minutes to do that because we're getting ready to receive communion. And I want you to have a few minutes to do that right now. So, Father, I just thank you right now for this time that we have. And I ask you, Father, that you would forgive each of us, Father. And I pray that you would put our feet upon the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I repent of anything that I've done, God, against you. And I thank you today that my feet are on the path of righteousness because of you, God, not because of me. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters right now, God. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you that you would come and move in our hearts. That you would come and speak to us, oh God. That you would touch our hearts. Father, I pray that you would just begin to move in this place right now. I pray that a spirit of repentance would come right now. Lord, I pray for those of us who have been looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, going places that we shouldn't go. Lord, listening to people that we shouldn't be listening to. I pray right now, Father, that there would be a break in our hearts and we would turn from those things. And I just hear God saying today that if you would choose, you can't just choose to come to God whenever you want to. A lot of people think that you can do that, but the Bible says it's the Spirit of God that draws men to repentance. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're in this place today and you know God is dealing with your heart and you know God is speaking to you and you know God is saying, you can get away from this, you can move from this, you can break from this, I want to encourage you to do that right now where you're sitting and just say, God, I break from this. God, I get away from this. God, I renounce this. I turn from this. I move from this right now, and I choose you today. I choose to walk with you today. Lord, I thank you for it. And I give you praise for it. Father, I thank you for your grace that is in this place right now. You guys can go ahead and come and pass out the communion elements. Thank you, Jesus. Before we receive communion, before we take a moment, the Bible says, listen, we don't have to be judged by God or others if we judge ourselves. And the Bible says we can do that, and he encourages us to do that before we eat or drink before we do this. And so I want to encourage you today that go ahead and hold what you've got when you get this, and we're going to take them to shake us up. I believe God is wanting to do something fresh in our hearts. I believe God is wanting to take us from thinking wrong things and moving in wrong directions and take us into new places in Him. Amen. How many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ today? You're thankful for the cross of Jesus. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be lost. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd be in a world of hurt. We'd be in a world of pain. But because of the blood of Jesus, because His body was broken, you and I can have forgiveness of our sins, and we can walk in righteousness. We can walk in holiness, not because we've got more willpower than other people, but because His Spirit has made us alive.